Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
This is Brad Milkey of ABC News' Start Here podcast with your sports update. Down one star, the Golden State Warriors keep winning thanks to the rejuvenation of another. We'll explain coming up.
Hey, we get it. You don't want to be hearing a Progressive commercial right now. So let us tell you something you do want to hear. You are powerful. You're a warrior who bathes in your enemy's tears. Then you step out of that refreshing tear bath and into a bathrobe that somehow looks good on you. Yeah, you can pull off a robe. There. Don't you feel better? You'll also feel better when you save money for driving safely with Snapshot from Progressive. Savings you can use to buy more robes. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California, North Carolina, or from all agents.
Warriors star Klay Thompson is out for the 2021 season with a torn Achilles tendon, but in his absence, two-time MVP Steph Curry has stepped up in a big way. Curry sits near the top of the league in points scored and three-pointers made and set a new personal best with 62 points in a single game.
This ABC Sports Update was brought to you by Progressive. Drivers who switch to Progressive can save an average of $668.
Hello. And welcome to Millennial Mama. I'm Sachi, a writer, blogger, and first-time mama to my baby Alaya. I am a huge advocate of maternal mental health, and I believe happy mama equals happy families. As a mom to a toddler, I'm exploring and learning new things every day. With Millennial Mama, I wish for moms to enjoy a real, fun, and hands-on approach to motherhood. And yes, that includes celebrating our failures too. So, let's begin!
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to an HD Smartcast original.
Hi, and welcome back to Millennial Mama. My guest today is known as the Child Whisperer and has over 35 years of experience in working with children as a child development specialist. She's going to share some insights into children's behaviors and share tips and tricks for us to work with difficulties, transitions, and more. Please welcome Dr. Siggy. Hi, Dr. Siggy. How are you? Thank you so much for joining me.
I'm very good. Thank you, Sanchi, for inviting me.
Dr. Siggy, now I have been following your page, I think when you were very new to Instagram, and you are a gentle parenting advocate. And I just want to understand from you, what is gentle parenting and why is it the need of the hour today?
Very good question. So let me just maybe change the word gentle to kind. I look at kind parenting, and kind means that there is firmness, there is authority that sets boundaries to children because it is allowing them to feel safe, to look up to their parents, to be inspired by their parents. But at the same time, it is respectful even when it says no. It is kind to them. It is understanding to where they're coming from. So it has empathy. So I like to call it kind parenting.
That's nice, yeah.
Not just gentle. Yeah.
But can you tell me, why do you think it's so important for us to be kind? And I'll tell you where I'm coming from, you know, because when I see my parenting style and my mom's parenting style, there's a vast difference, you know, in how she raised me. I don't want to follow the same pattern with my daughter. Her name is Alaya. I don't want her to have, you know, these fears or cause these fears in her head for no reason. I want to be empathetic towards her needs because I realized as a teenager how much I rebelled and how much I hated my parents at one point, you know. So why do you think it's so important in our generation to be kind parents?
Yes, definitely a good question. And I totally understand what you're saying. So think about the way in which your parents asserted themselves. As you're describing, there was a little bit of fear, intimidation, oppression maybe. Yeah. And what parents used to say, whether they actually said it or meant it, was because I said so, right? So there was no questioning, right. There was no doubting their authority, there was no bargaining with it whatsoever. So what I'm saying right now is authority that is kind doesn't mean that it accommodates the children, that it allows them to do whatever they want, that it doesn't keep boundaries and structure. It only means that when I say, you know what, because I said so and I am in charge, notice that maybe I'm not exactly saying it like that, but my intonation is kind. My intonation is gentle. My intonation is respectful. And I am letting the children know that it's not about me accommodating everything that they want. It's me understanding everything they want. And sometimes also teaching them and helping them realize to distinguish between wants and needs, to distinguish between wants that are very impulsive, reactive, subjective, good really only for the moment, as opposed to understanding wants that are much more thought through.
I think that's really, really very interesting what you said, because, yeah, I do remember that I told you so was my biggest problem. Yeah. And yeah, I am trying not to repeat that pattern.
So you can say that. Yeah, I was going to say that. Think about yourself as a kind authority over your child, not because you are intimidating and scaring her and because you are irrational, but because you truly do know better. You rely on your experience. Your authority is comforting to your child, not intimidating to your child. So when I say so, I can look at my child and say, I know that right now it's hard for you to understand that this is the way things are, or this is what we need to do, or this is what you need to do. I know it's hard to understand. But I'm not saying trust me, but I am implying. But yeah, I do know better because I have experience, because I do understand long-term effect of actions. And therefore, I am here for you and with you to help you, not to oppress you, right?
So when you see their point of view, you make them see your point of view as well. And that makes you more trustworthy to them.
Exactly, yes. So first I see their point of view before I ask them to see my point of view. And sometimes I don't even ask them to see my point of view. I only, have empathy towards their point of view and an understanding. And that's why they can trust me. They can look up to me because I am there for them.
But, you know, I want to ask you because, you know, I want to know from you, my toddler is 21 months old and she can be very headstrong at times. She wants things a certain way and she wants it just that way. Like yesterday, she refused to sleep. I want to understand, how do I draw a boundary with a strong-headed toddler? Because if I try to get my point across to her, she was only crying yesterday.
Exactly. So the idea is exactly what we were saying earlier, that your toddler cannot understand your point of view. She doesn't have rationale. She doesn't have life experience. She doesn't understand why she's acting and reacting the way she is. She's coming from an impulsive, very much in the moment, and of course, lacking the foresight, the ability to see further beyond the moment. So she's where she's at.
Yeah.
You cannot reason with that. Okay. You can't explain to her things in a logical way. You know, we need to go to sleep because then you wouldn't be tired, your body and so on. You can say that, but you don't have to try to convince her of that because she can't actually understand. What you can do is constantly remind her that you know this is hard for her. I know you don't want to go to sleep. I hear you. Yeah, you're screaming, you're crying. I understand. Yeah, you're very upset. So you see, what I do a lot of is recognize how my child feels. And by that, I give them empathy and I contain with them how they're feeling. So they're beginning to feel more supported. They don't have to think whether or not I am right. They have to feel that I know what I'm saying. And after that, you're like, yeah. And then you just state the facts. And the facts are, yes, we are going to sleep right now, even if you're upset, even if you're crying. And you see, again, with the intonation of, it used to be your parents, well, right now you're going to sleep, no questions asked, you know, yes, the idea was to tell you what to do without recognizing how you feel. And now I'm still telling you what to do. I'm still a parent, and that's okay. But I'm being kind and respectful to how you feel, which is a main difference.
I agree to this, but I also feel that sometimes as a parent, you are just like, you know, I'm just like, I've lost my patience, and I'm like, please just go to sleep now, you know, like that's my thing. But yeah, I think that's something I need to work on, and parents need to work on as well, you know, because we are so short on patience most of the times. We're trying to do 100 things, and I think our child just wants their feelings to be recognized over and over again. So I think that is definitely something to work on. You also talk a lot about scripts, and I want to understand from you, what are these scripts and how do these scripts help in communicating with the toddlers? So basically, let me reframe that question. Can one script fit all?
In some ways, yes. But also you want to personalize the script. So the script is a personal sort of reflection, like a personal clip of your toddler, your child right then in the moment, or what they're struggling with. So it's like you telling your child a story about them. And it can include the fact, for instance, I know you don't like to go to sleep when I say it's time to go to sleep. So here is a story about a little girl that doesn't like to go to sleep, but she does have to because, mommy says she has to go to sleep and daddy says she has to go to sleep. So I can recognize that children can understand storytelling, and they can put themselves in that story because they can intuitively feel that it is something about them that they have a hard time understanding, but they can understand it that way. It's like it gives it another dimension. And so you tell the story of your child to your child about any scenario that you want to. And you create in the story, you talk about the facts, what needs to happen going to sleep. What is your child not wanting or feeling, having a hard time crying? What is mommy and daddy's role right there to tell the child, you still have to go to sleep. And this is what we're going to do. And here is how I'm going to help you. So when you cry, when you don't want to go to sleep. And notice how simple the script is for young children. But I can, of course, upgrade it to older children as well and tell the story with even them included in it. So then what happens? So what do you usually do? You cry, you scream. You get very upset. And then I say, okay, but it's still time to go to sleep. So no matter what it is a personalized story that does include a framework of some facts, emotions, the way things are right now, and the way I want them to be.
Okay.
It's like we're creating a new ending to the story.
Very interesting. Okay, tell me one more thing. I know personally a lot of people who feel that their children do not listen to a word they have to say. They are being constantly disrespectful. These are mainly with kids in their twos, 2 to 3 years, you know, so the terrible twos they are called. Do you think there is some way to change the situation and get their kids to listen to what they have to say?
Yes, I think that one, we want to, in a way, take away that concept, children are not listening to us, because it is true, they're not really listening to us. But the more we try, the more we try, we just get stuck on it. We have to reframe that. And so it's more, children don't comply instantly. Children don't always cooperate. And certainly children follow their own mind, right? They live in their own little subjective world. They want to do what they want to do. And they can't always understand what it is that we want them to do. And if they do understand it, they sometimes don't want to. They, again, refuse or resent, disagree. So what we need to do is not to work on our children listening to us, but our children cooperating with us, our children collaborating with us. And in order for that to happen, it's a whole different mindset. So instead of saying to our child, "You're not listening to me," I say, "Wow, this is not really working for us right now. We need to turn the TV off, or we need to get out of the bathtub, or we need to put our pajama on. And I can see you are having a very hard time. And I'm sorry that you are." See, I'm always being kind and empathetic. Yeah. I always name the emotion, but then I still state the facts, which is where I come from. But here is what we need to do. We still need to do that. Now, children definitely can argue and fight. Like you said, even your little toddler fights you, and it is very difficult. We want them to be little soldiers that comply with everything we say, and they're not. So what we need to work on is extra patience and kind of breathe through and say, okay, here is what we're going to do. This is what we need to do right now. I see it's hard for you. We're still doing that. And you know what? I'm right here to help, and we're going to be okay. As they get older, we can incorporate them. How about we do it this way? I have an idea. Can you think of another idea? Would you like to get dressed on the bed or on the floor? I mean, we can allow a few options. But think where I'm coming from. I'm not asking my child to listen to me. I'm asking my child to cooperate and collaborate. But that takes a little more patience, understanding, explanation, right? But also I'm insisting on what it is that we need to do. I think another thing that needs to happen often is that parents have to be right there, close to their children, so not like yell from across the room or the house, "We need to turn the TV off, you need to come to dinner." We, you know, sort of that remote control parenting doesn't work. I have to be right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I want to say, okay, time to turn the TV off right now. And I can see it's very hard for you, but we're going to do this together. Okay, go ahead. You press the button and I, whatever, you know, help you. Yeah. Hold your hand.
So teamwork makes the dream work.
Exactly. It's teamwork. But we are still the CEOs. We still know more. But our children, they work with us. They don't work for us.
I absolutely get it. I'm going to try this. And I'm going to make my husband listen to this as well. Okay. And last question I have for you, Siggy, is that are there any tips you would like to give to all the moms out there who are currently struggling with work from home and homeschooling and, you know, are really getting pressurized? It's been, what, 7-8 months now?
Yes. Yes, it's very, very difficult. And we are not seeing end in sight. So it means that we have to really work harder to have more patience and resilience. We have to hold on to hope and we have to say, what can we do now, today, in the moment to help ourselves? So I think sometimes thinking outside the box, we can't travel, we can't go far, we can't go places, but there's still some outside. There's still a little bit of creativity left. And I think we need to use that to break the routine. So I want to help parents think, what can we do today that breaks the routine for all of us? That instead of getting stuck on everything I need to do and I can't, I'm going to pause and say, you know what? What if we all, I don't know, huddle together in the living room on the carpet? You are on one computer, I'm on another computer, and we'll somehow be together as opposed to keep quiet, be quiet, can't do this. You know, a lot of the resentment that happens because we're so stressed out. Is there a way to go sit outside on a bench, under a tree, even, you know, on a blanket and do some work there instead of always trying to stick to our routine that is very, very confining and stressful?
When my husband is working in the room and the room is shut, my baby is yelling at the top of her lungs because she wants to see her dad. Yeah. But the minute he like opens the room and we are all together, like he's doing his work, I'm doing my work there, she's absolutely okay playing around there with the books and, you know, everything. She does not even make it feel like that difficult.
Wow. If you could only see, I have a smile from ear to ear because, yeah, that's exactly what it is. And it just made me happy because you are absolutely right. When we try to create these confining structures, these barriers, I mean, I'm not saying all the time, but we have to vary. Sometimes there's, you know, I need to be in a room quiet, but sometimes let's just open it up. Let's all sit around the kitchen table. And yes, it's a little more noisy and commotion, but you know what? It also breaks down the stress that we're all feeling. And it definitely helps our children. Yes, the idea is to always try and work with what we have and make the best of that rather than resent what we have in feeling like it works against us, right? So much of it is a mindset, how we're looking at things. This is what we have. It's tough. Can we make the best of it? And the answer is, yes, we can. And that's what we want to model to our children.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Siggy. This was such a fab conversation. I'm so glad you agreed to do this today.
Thank you.
Wow. Dr. Siggy shared such valuable information. I'm excited to see how it works. If you would like to connect with her, her Instagram handle is dr.siggy. And that's my cue. Baby Ray calls for Mama Ray, which means that's it for today. Do share your love and support, because God knows all new mamas need it. You can connect with me at Sachi Nasta on Instagram and Twitter. You can also show some love at HT Smartcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To listen to more podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com. See you next week.
This was an HT Smartcast original.
HT Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.